The reading today is Isaiah 9, verse 2 to 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the word of the Lord.
So, here we are in the season of Advent. We talked earlier about those who have put up their decorations and those who definitely haven't and won't be doing until a certain time. And we all have kind of different rituals about that. And I wonder what we think Advent is about. The top answer tends to be that it's about getting ready for Christmas. And for those people who don't do church, that might be what they say. You know, they're used to the kind of Advent calendars where you open a little window and get a little piece of chocolate. They've kind of grown up with that tradition. And they know that Advent means getting ready for Christmas. You've got shopping, lots of shopping to do. You've got to put up the decorations and all that stuff. Tends to be what they think Advent is about. And that's certainly part of what Advent is about, maybe. Certainly these days. Secondly, getting ready for Jesus' birth. Now, that might be the thing you think, well, yeah, that's the right answer. You know, they say that if ever a vicar asks you a question, the answer is always Jesus. You know, even if he's asking for where the toilets are, you think, well, I think it's down there on the left, but I should probably just say Jesus, because that's usually the right answer. And in that case, this is true. So getting ready for Jesus' birth. But actually, that's an interesting thing, isn't it? Because this is something that's already happened in the past. How can you get ready for something that's already happened? Well, maybe we're getting ready to celebrate the fact that it happened in the past and its significance. And I think that's true as well. But actually, I think we need to go a bit further with Advent than simply getting ready for Christmas and getting ready for Jesus' birth. I think we need to be doing the third thing here, which is getting ready for Jesus' return. Now, that might seem a bit outside of what you think Advent is all about. But actually, it's only in recent church history that Advent has been connected with Christmas. Originally, it was simply about anticipating when Jesus would return. It was all about that. It had nothing to do with Christmas decorations. It was separate from celebrating Christmas. And then eventually they kind of got tagged together because they're in a similar time of year. But essentially it's about getting ready for Jesus' return. And so I'd like us to think a bit about that this morning. Now, Advent is about waiting. The Latin word for Advent apparently means arrival or to come or to arrive. So it's waiting for something to happen. And I want to think about two different types of waiting depicted by these pictures here. The first is the kind of waiting you might do at a bus stop. That's quite passive waiting, isn't it? I don't know if you've recently waited for a bus, but time seems to go really slowly, doesn't it, when you're waiting for a bus? It just seems to really drag, because all you're doing is you're sat there or you're stood there, and maybe it's a bit cold, and you're looking up the road and you're waiting to see that bus, and it never seems to come. You think, oh, maybe it'll be the next kind of vehicle over the hill, and it just never seems to happen. And that kind of waiting is passive, because while you're at the bus stop, maybe you're going to get the bus into town, you're going to do something, but until that bus arrives, you can't get on with it. So you're stuck in this moment until the bus arrives, then you can kind of get on with your life. So that's the first type of waiting. And then there's a second type of waiting, which might be the type of waiting you do when you're expecting a baby. And this kind of waiting has more of a purpose to it. So who knows, maybe some of the young people, children can answer, what kind of thing, or anybody can answer, what kind of thing do you do when you're expecting a baby, when you're waiting for a baby? What sort of things might you prepare or get ready? Yes, Lucy.
Getting like the baby stuff.
getting the baby stuff. Yeah, that's a key thing, isn't it? What kind of baby stuff might you need? What stuff do babies need? Yeah.
Clothes.
Clothes, yeah, little cute baby grows.
Milk.
Milk, yeah.
A room.
A room. Preparing a room. Otherwise, there may be no room at the inn. Yeah, so getting a cot, yeah. Think about how you're going to give birth. That's very very graphic. Yeah, you might... A birth plan, isn't that what it's called? Because a birth plan, you might want to make a birth plan, but you need to be prepared that your birth plan might need to go out the window because it might all go wrong. We've experienced that.
Differently,
it might go differently than planned. I'm moving towards Sarah because she's maybe our expert here.
Frozen meals in the freezer.
Frozen meals in the freezer, yeah. Any other things that you might want to get ready when you're expecting a baby? Any other?
Choose a name.
Choose a name, yeah. You might want to get one of those books or go into those websites where it's got all the names. You have to try the name out. You have to... the best thing to do is to... So if you're going to go with Zerubbabel, you have to imagine shouting them for tea. Zerubbabel, tea's ready. And you think, no, that doesn't sound right. I'm not going to go with Zerubbabel. Yes?
Nappies.
You might want to buy lots of nappies and wipes. That's a good idea, yeah. What was that one? Buggies, yeah. Pram, yeah. Buggies, pram, yeah. All that stuff. There's lots of stuff to get. And actually, it's a really useful time, isn't it, that 9 months? Particularly if you're becoming a parent for the first time, because it helps you to start to get your head round what's about to happen. And you kind of become a parent before you become a parent, in a sense, don't you? Because what's interesting is you can never quite prepare, can you? If ever I've got friends who are about to have children, they say, you know, how can I get ready? I'll say, you just can't, really. There's nothing that will prepare you for the way that your world is about to change. Get some sleep. That's the key advice. And enjoy the time that you have, because your life's about to change forever. But it's a different kind of waiting, that, isn't it, than waiting at the bus stop. You're doing things, you're thinking about things. You might even be going to kind of prenatal classes and learning about how to be a parent, parenting courses, all that kind of thing. It's very active. It's not passive. And I think that's the kind of waiting that we need to be doing, yes, in Advent, but even more than that, just in our Christian life. This idea of waiting for Jesus' return isn't something passive like waiting for a bus to arrive. It's something active. We are becoming certain types of people. We are living in a certain type of way because we're anticipating this promise that is to come. So when we look at our passage this morning from Isaiah, and remember, Isaiah is a prophet, so he's telling us about things to come. That's one of his roles, speaking for God. It says this. Verse 6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And when we hear those words about a child being born and a son being given, we automatically think about Christmas, don't we? The Christmas card image, the Jesus arriving. Of course, that's what it's about. But there's something else going on here, because it says that the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. There's an eternal dimension. And later on it says, upholding with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. This isn't just about a baby that will arrive and that will live a life and then die. There's an eternal dimension going on here to Jesus. And this is about Jesus's return, and the new heaven and new earth is to come, the eternal promise that is to come, that's been spoken about. So there's a sense of anticipation. There's a birth, and there's that kind of expectancy that comes with a birth. There's a promise, there's a waiting, but there's an anticipation. Something is going to happen. And in fact, when we're talking about the kingdom of God and we're talking about Jesus, it's not just that something is going to happen, it's that something already has happened. We often talk about the now and the not yet of the kingdom. The kingdom, the full kingdom is to come, but the kingdom is breaking into the here and now. I think something that helps us understand this is when we look at a passage like Acts chapter 2, verse 17. When he's quoting from Joel, and he says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. And he goes on to say, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Begins in the last days. Now, what we need to understand about the last days is that we are living in the last days. And the last days began when Jesus ascended into heaven, when Jesus' resurrection, he ascended into heaven, he sent his Holy Spirit, and the last days began. And now for the early Christians, they thought any day now Jesus would return. They thought it would happen before their life ended. Because they had such a sense of anticipation of Jesus' return being imminent. And the reason for that is that Jesus talked about his return as though it was imminent. He never gave them a specific time, but it's as though he wanted them to always be anticipating it, for that to be an ongoing thing. And he wants all his followers to be constantly anticipating his return, to live as though he could return at any moment. That might seem like quite a hard thing to do, to get our heads around that. We're okay with thinking about Jesus coming at Christmas. It's a bit harder to get our heads around to think that he might return in 5 minutes' time, in a year's time, in, you know, next week, whenever. It's kind of hard for us to think about that. But Jesus was encouraging his followers to live as though his return was imminent. But why? And I think the answer to that is to do with hope, to do with having hope. So we're thinking about promise, and I think we need to think about it in two ways. We need to think about the promise fulfilled and the promise yet to be fulfilled. So the promise that has been fulfilled is that God would send his Son, that unto us a child would be born. And we see that in the person of Jesus, in the birth of Jesus. We see that in his life, that he brought the kingdom about by healing people, by speaking to people, by teaching people and telling stories. But then he dies and he rose again. He ascended into heaven and he sent his Holy Spirit on all flesh. He sent his Holy Spirit to us. That's the promise that has been fulfilled. We now live with that promise. We live with God within us. But then there's the promise that is yet to be fulfilled. And that is when Jesus returns. And Jesus returns as a judge. And that can sound really scary when you think about a final judgment. But we need to remember who the judge is. The judge is Jesus. And who is Jesus? Jesus is the God who is love. And he judges fairly. And he judges with a good measure of what is right and wrong. He understands our struggles. He understands our problems. And he judges us fairly. And he puts everything that is wrong, he burns it in fire forever. And everything that is good, he keeps into eternity. It's the new heaven and new earth, the picture that we read about in Revelation. And we live in the in-between time, between Acts and Revelation, if you like. That's where we're living. Jesus will return. He will come. And we are anticipating that and living in that moment. And I think the key to this is that we need to be able to look forward and look back at the same time. I wonder if I could have a helper help me. Would you, Lucy, like to help me? Karis, do you want to help too? Okay, Lucy, if you could stand here. Right, Karis, and if you could stand behind Lucy. So we're thinking about looking forward and looking back to start with. So, Lucy, I'd like you to look forward and tell me how many figures can you see in the stained glass window at the back of the church?
Six.
You can see six people. Okay. Oh, yeah, six people. Yeah? Okay, now I want you to keep looking forward, but I want you to tell me how many fingers Karis is holding up. So, Karis, you hold up a number of fingers, like using your hands.
Three?
No, wrong, I'm afraid. She's holding up 10. It's quite hard to look back, isn't it, at the same time? But so turn around, and then you'll be able to answer the question.
10.
Yeah. And I also want you to stay looking at the front. And I want you to also... I was going to ask you to tell me what coloured socks you have on. But you can't do that because you haven't got any socks on. But I want you to look forward, but also look at your feet. Look at your toes while looking forward. You can't do that, can you? It's really hard. Thank you. You can sit down. But I think that's kind of what... Thank you. You can sit down too, Karis. I think that's what we need to do. We need to be able to look behind us and look to Jesus' birth and all that's happened and the Old Testament and all those promises and live in those promises behind us. But we also need to look forward for Jesus' return. But we also need to not remember to look at our feet, to look at the present and to be present in the here and now, because we look back and we see all that Jesus has done for us, the God of history. We look forward and know that Jesus will return, and because we know that he will return and that all things will be put right, that all sickness will be healed, that death will be no more, that means that we can live in the here and now differently,
We can live with hope because we know the promise behind us that Jesus has come, that he sent his Spirit. We can look to the future and know that everything will be put right, and therefore we can live in the present, in the here and now, with real hope, with knowing that God is with us through his Holy Spirit, that he's given that gift to us so that we can be his people, and also that we can live with hope in any kind of situation. So to conclude, three things. How we are to live. We need to believe the promise. That's the first point. We need to believe the promise. The promise of all that has been done. Of all that God has said, this is what I've done for you. We need to expect the promise. That's about expecting what is to come, that Jesus will return. We need to really have that faith that Jesus is going to return and he's going to fix everything that's broken. That all things will be put right. That's true. That's biblical truth. It's not about us floating up to heaven as some kind of disembodied ghost. It's about Jesus returning to the earth and fixing all that is wrong. We need to expect that promise. And then thirdly, we need to live the promise in the here and now. We need to live as those who believe that all things will be put right. We need to live as those who believe that Jesus is going to return. We also need to live as those who believe that Jesus has come. That he did come. That child to us was born, and that he has started a new era, and we live in these last days. We live with the Holy Spirit within us. Let me pray, and I think the band are going to come up and we're going to spend some time singing again. So Lord, we thank you for Advent, for this season, which helps us think about your coming in the person of Jesus, but also your returning in the person of Jesus, and all that means to us. We thank you, Lord, for the promises of the Old Testament, that a child will be born to us, that he will bring peace, an everlasting peace. And Lord, we long for that peace. We see a world in turmoil, and we see lives in turmoil, and we long for your everlasting peace. We know that it will come, and so we wait with anticipation. We believe the promise that is to come. We live with expectancy of all that's going to happen. We live with that hope within our hearts. And for those of us who are feeling that our hope is wearing thin, I pray that you'd renew that hope within us. For those who are struggling in the not yet of the kingdom, where we see suffering all around, where we experience suffering ourselves, Lord, would you rise faith within us to know that you are the God of the past and of the future, but you're also the God of the here and now. And so we pray, come Holy Spirit. We say, Lord, pour out your Spirit on all flesh, on the young and the old, on men and on women. Give us your Holy Spirit to help us to live in the here and now as believers of you, as followers of you. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.